It is the third hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, with you as we just steam on through the week and towards yet another football weekend. And I got to tell you, after the last couple of football weekends, on one hand, I assume the South Carolina Gamecock fans are very excited to see their football team take to the pitch one more time again and try to keep the momentum that hath been built a-rolling. On the other hand, I assume the last couple of Saturdays have provided an extraordinary number of heart palpitations to many Gamecock fans after the game against Alabama, after a huge win on the road in Norman, Oklahoma over the Boomer Sooners. And getting set on the bye week this week, but before what I think is the true meat and taters of the season with the cult of Texas A&M coming to town next weekend to discuss all of these games, both past and future. From the Greenville News, she covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News over Columbia, South Carolina. She is the lovely Lulu Kessin joining us here on the show. Good morning, young lady. How we doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. How's the Thursday on a bye week feel? Nice little break from the last couple of weeks of intensity.
Absolutely. It's like my calm before the storm, because then next week I have A&M, and then I'm going and hopping on a flight to Vegas for women's basketball. And then I come home and there's a Vanderbilt game and NC State for basketball. So it's just, I'm actually taking a little bit of time to breathe right now because there's no media all week.
I respect that. And by the way, Lulu Kessin, before we get to Gamecock football, I was scrolling the Twitter feed earlier. Are you a Boston Celtics fan?
Yes. Okay. Hopefully that doesn't impact my future on the show.
No, you're good. You're fine. I actually am a big Jason Tatum guy. Congrats on the opening night win in the banner lifting, by the way. It just means that, unfortunately, I do have to talk like a little bit of trash to you during the NBA season. Don't take it seriously. I'm a Pelicans fan. I've never won a damn thing in my life.
Hey, that's okay. I'll bring it on. I get it.
I like it. I appreciate it. All right, Lulu Kessin, let us begin with Game Pass. That is Oklahoma last week. The defense just absolutely phenomenal. Couple of tutties right out of the gate. Lenora Sellers had breathing room before he really even had to get the ball into his hands. Nick Emenwori was phenomenal in this game for a defensive line that had been, pardon the expression, a little bit under fire since the Ole Miss game. On the defensive side of the ball, did something click? Was something done differently? How did this team come out and dominate Oklahoma right out of the gate like they did?
It was nice to see everything sort of fall into place for the defense, especially because the narrative behind South Carolina's defense kind of all year has been, oh my gosh, they're so good, but, you know, South Carolina hasn't found a way to win. So it was sort of kind of like seeing the defense like get their flowers in a sense, because it, like, they actually had a result that allowed everybody to fully dive into how good this defense is performing. I could say that Demetrius Knight telling media a quote that he lives by, which is how you do anything is how you do everything, kind of washed over the defense in my perspective. I felt like South Carolina finally realized that every mistake that they were making week after week, whether that was penalties, whether that was missed tackles, it's all affecting the other. And I think that South Carolina's defense finally was like, all right, we're not letting anything ruin our chances today. And it seemed like Nick Emenwori personally just came out red hot, and that changed the tone of the game going forward.
Was there any conversation on the defensive side of the football, either between the coaches and the players themselves? I mean, you go back to that Ole Miss game, and it felt like, fair or not, a lot of the criticism about that game got dumped onto them. Was there any mentality of, we're about to go out there and show everybody that it's not on us, or that we're a better group than we've been made out to be?
Clayton White, the defensive coordinator, is definitely the least emotional of all the coaches we talk to. And I say that in the sense he doesn't necessarily give a ton of perspective into how he feels about the nature of each game or the environment or what the expectations are. He barely would talk about how Kentucky beating Ole Miss is going to affect South Carolina. You know, he kind of just sticks to the, oh, every week in the SEC is hard. And I respect that. I respect that kind of neutral mindset. But with Oklahoma coming in, I think it was less of, oh, the defense is getting the blame for this, that, the other thing. I think it was more of, hey, how do we continue doing our part to ensure a win, even if we have an offense that is kind of struggling with youth or inexperience or turnovers or whatever it is?
We talked a little bit about it earlier this week. I believe that Lulu Kessin, everything has nuance. Every conversation has nuance. And I think that gets lost in the world of sports sometimes, right? It's always either black or white, up or down, left or right. There is a conversation ongoing, and I had this one yesterday with Denton Day from SiriusXM. I had it on my show last Saturday, of the national conversation seems to be focused in on Oklahoma's not good. Brent Venables isn't good. This team they've rolled out there, Jackson Arnold isn't good. Like, this team isn't good, to the point that I said on Monday to South Carolina fans, don't let these conversations, which are going to happen, detract from how impressive this win was. What is your perspective on Oklahoma was overrated, they're not very good, versus South Carolina went out there and just kind of enacted their will on them?
Well, the thing is that both can be true and both can be used to kind of fuel South Carolina's statement or kind of confidence, because if you look at it in the sense, like, South Carolina has struggled against some bad teams this year. Old Dominion week one being a good example. I mean, week four, it sort of, they were, I think they still had like 8 penalties for a loss of 80 yards or something. Then, so like, South Carolina hasn't played perfect games, and South Carolina will play a horrible game and then almost beat Alabama. So their narrative, I don't think, has been consistent enough to put it all on the Oklahoma game. But definitely, I did think Oklahoma was just, I don't want to say worse than I thought, but worse than I thought. I think I went in there thinking that they had a really good in-game coaching, just really good at adjusting, and I felt like South Carolina kind of just kept, just, it was like almost beating a dead horse, which sounds horrible because their mascot's a pony, but it was just like, it was just a lot. It was very underwhelming. But again, like, people could maybe say that about South Carolina only watching the Ole Miss game. So I think it does go to Shane Beamer's point of, like, every week in the SEC is different, and you never truly know what kind of team you're going to get.
We are talking with Lulu Kessin. She covers the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Greenville News. Joins us every Thursday at 8 o'clock to break down what we saw. Let's talk about the offensive side of the ball, Lulu Kessin, because, look, you got a little pillow built for you there by the defense. It kind of felt to me like they were able to play a little more free, a little more comfortable, but I also think you got to talk about the things that maybe didn't go well, even when you have a blowout win like this one. Second half, it really kind of felt like Dow Loggins and company took their foot off the accelerator a little bit and were maybe more playing to burn out the clock and preserve the lead than to go, you know, be bloodthirsty, finish this team off, get to 50 points for the first time in a very long time. What was your perspective on the difference in the offense from the first half to the second half?
I'm glad that you also agree with the kind of perception that Dowell sort of took things slow in the second half. And I'm definitely not trying to make something out of nothing with what Beamer said, but I was a little bit surprised that during an in-game interview and after, Beamer was so critical of the offense in the second half. It made me wonder how much he kind of wanted to keep his foot on the gas and have the offense keep improving in the third and fourth quarter. It just sort of felt like there was a potential, not disconnect there, but I felt like he fully understood what the reporters were asking when we were like, oh, like, what'd you think of the 3 points in the second half? Definitely after that long touchdown, Oklahoma scores, like, yeah, the defense I was confident in is not going to let this become a game. But, like, that's a perfect example where I thought I would have seen Dow Loggins be like, okay, our defense gave up a pretty bad, leaky, long touchdown. Let's throw something else at them. Let's try something new. Let's keep going. Let's get our offense, who needs the reps and confidence, to continue going. So I was a little bit, I don't want to say confused or disappointed, because granted, Dow Loggins is the offensive coordinator for a reason, and I'm not. But I do agree with the assessment that there did seem to be a sudden drop off in the offensive intensity from quarter two to quarter three and four.
Yeah, it felt to me, and I think Shane kind of alluded to this, and I think you just did as well without maybe going into it, so I will ask you to. The takeaway from me, as much as, yeah, look, go score 50, right? Go humiliate them on their turf. For me, it wasn't so much about that, Lulu Kesson, as this is an opportunity where there's not a lot of pressure on you. You've got this nice, comfortable lead. Their offense can't seem to get anything going against your defense. Like, everything's lined up. It felt more like an opportunity to get some reps, to get some experience, maybe to try out some different tactics and concepts that you have not gotten to use in other games where the score was a little more tight. It felt like an opportunity to take advantage of a real-life, full-speed SEC road trip to work on maybe some offensive stuff you haven't gotten a chance to in this season. And instead, it just kind of felt like they fell on the most basic vanilla offense they could. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like if this game was 21-17... I'd be a little bit more comfortable with that. But when it's a blowout win, like, go out there and try to get better. It just felt like a missed opportunity to me.
Totally. I mean, also, if you take away the 14 points the defense had, like, it wasn't like Lenoris went off and threw four touchdowns in the first half. Like, it was very much the defense carried a lot of the offense to start. So, like, Dowell's favorite way to describe offense is vanilla, so that's funny you said that. I mean, I know it's common, but still, like, I just heard Dow Loggins saying that in my head. But I think that definitely, if you look at the end of South Carolina's schedule, they're not, I truly would be shocked if they had anything else close to the score that the Oklahoma game was. And so with four games to go that, you know, make something happen if they actually want to have an 8-win season, and then obviously two for a 6-win season. Like, you got to figure out ways to improve the offense when you can. And I did think it was a bit of a missed opportunity in the Oklahoma game, just given the fact that it's probably the last blowout game that they'll have the rest of the season.
We are speaking with Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Got a couple more minutes here, Lulu. You'd mentioned Lenoris Sellers there. And, you know, I scan social media with my life because I like to see what everybody's doing. That's way cooler than my life is. And there was a lot of talk about Lenoris Sellers. My perspective has been, you can see the talent. You can see the athletic ability. But it does not feel to me like he is developing at a pace that I would like him to, and I think you did see that a little bit against Oklahoma. On the flip side, you went to Alabama. You probably could have, should have won that game. LSU came to your house, probably could have, should have won that game. And then you went to Norman when Oklahoma was reeling from getting smoked by Texas in their first SEC game against a traditional SEC school. And you mentioned it, like, if it wasn't for the defense, Lenoris Sellers had a good day, not a great one. What is your perspective on the development of Lenoris Sellers now that we're midway through a season where he's QB1? It kind of feels like we're getting to the point where the it's his first year at QB1 excuse is kind of coming off the table.
It's valid that excuse is coming off the table. I will say that, and I think Shane Beamer, honestly, has said a couple times, like, hey, they're not freshmen anymore. Like, that excuse is gone. Do I think Lenoris has definitely some pretty big areas of improvement that I maybe would have expected him to be better at by, you know, the Oklahoma game? Yes, for sure. But overall, I don't see as much of a slow progression as I feel like some people on social media maybe seeing and that they're like disappointed with. I think Lenoris was always going to be the type of quarterback that is never going to try to make the same mistake twice. And then after the first game, he was like, wow, that was like a lot faster than I thought. So I think in some ways he just wasn't ready for the huge jump, and then he got injured. And then if he was, I'll say this, if he was totally healthy the entire season, playing like the way he was playing, 1,000%, I think he'd need to be better by this point. But a lot of it, from my perspective and my opinion, is rhythm-based, it's experience-based, it's sort of comfort, confidence. And when you're injured and then you play a little bit one week, a little bit the next, none the next, and then you lose Rocket Sanders, and then you're throwing Amazio Bennett, and then you have an offensive coordinator who's not really throwing the ball. I just think Lenoris is sort of fighting his way through a lot of different factors right now, and I think that's playing into why he's kind of progressing at this like slower rate than maybe I would have expected, you know, late August or early August.
All right, Lulu Kessin, last one. It is the bye week, so can't ask you what the Gamecocks do to win this week. Instead, I will ask you, A, what do you expect to see the Gamecocks spend time dialing in the off week, on the bye week, and has Shane and the gang given any indication on what the focus is going to be this weekend without a contest?
Penalties, I know, is still a bit of a focus, even though that they were better. The pre-snap penalties that, quote, make Shane throw up is a focus this week. And I think South Carolina better not come out after their next bye week the same way they did against their first, because that they're in trouble if that's how they perform after an extra week of practice two times. But I think preventing, you know, the O-line not letting Lenoris get sacked every other play and penalties overall are probably a huge point of emphasis this week.
Discipline, discipline, discipline. Discipline and consistency are the two words I've been saying all freaking year about this football team. We will find out next week if the discipline and the consistency are there as the Colt comes to town. And that is a big one for Mike Elko and the Aggies, so it will be for Shane Beamer, the Gamecocks, as well. Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News. She joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. Lulu Kessin, happy NBA season, young lady.
Thank you. Go Celtics. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
You are the best. Lulu Kessin, you can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, K-E-S-I-N. Phenomenal follow if you are a Gamecock fan of all of the athletics. She's got a bunch of pieces up about Dawn Staley and the women's basketball team that will start to transition into basketball season as we get towards the end of football season. Of course, the Gamecocks need just a couple more wins to become bowl eligible and extend football season another couple of weeks. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things Lulu had to say. Then we got Rashad Beard at 8:40, Hayton Ask Mario at 9 o'clock, Fight Club at 9:20, and then we call it a day on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News last segment. Appreciate her time as we do every Thursday at 8 a.m. Phenomenal insight as she covers that team live and in living color in Columbia, South Carolina. A couple of things she brought up in that interview. She said that Shane Beamer said in an interview that the penalties, the quantity of penalties make him, quote, sick. I get it. One of the uncomfortable truths about a team like a South Carolina, and they are not alone or unique in this, but one of the uncomfortable truths, when you are a middle-of-the-pack program, fair to say South Carolina squarely in the middle of the pack in the SEC right now? Is that fair?
They are now.
Yeah, I mean, with the win over Oklahoma, certainly.
Yeah, earlier you would have to say bottom half.
Yeah.
Or bottom fourth or third or something.
I think it is fair to say in the SEC, South Carolina squarely in the middle of the pack. They are 2-3 in conference play. That places them above 1-2 Ole Miss, 1-3 Oklahoma, 1-4 Kentucky, 0-4 Auburn, 0-4 Mississippi State. They are a half a game behind 2-2 Florida, 2-2 Arkansas, 2-2 Alabama. A full game behind, though it's because they have played two fewer games, Vanderbilt and Texas and Mizzou, who are all 2-1, three games behind 3-1 Tennessee, four behind 4-1 Georgia. And then, of course, the two teams that are at the top of the pack, granted, have not played as many conference games so far, are 3-0 LSU and 4-0 Texas A&M, a.k.a. the Colt. One of the uncomfortable truths of being a team that is a middle-of-the-pack team, and this is true about college football, high school football, the NFL, is that there is a 0% tolerance margin for undisciplined football. 0%. You are not a team that is good enough to make mistakes and also win tough games. You're not. When you are a team that is as talented as a Georgia, an Ohio State, etc., you just by default have a little bit more margin of error. You have a little bit more room in terms of what you can give up. When you have a bona fide, certified superstar like an Ashton Janti for Boise State, you have a little bit more room for error. You have a little bit more room that you can give up in terms of undisciplined play, etc. South Carolina doesn't have that. And so that when you get to undisciplined, remember, go back to that Ole Miss loss. Discipline was the number one issue that I brought up the next week. And you can say, as Lonzo did, and looks like maybe he was correct, it's just a bad game. And it was. It was. They didn't play well. And they came out the next week and they went to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where I thought they were going to get blown out by 50, and they played good disciplined football. Better disciplined football. And they were right there in a position to win against a team that is respectfully just better than them. Then they went out to Norman, Oklahoma to play a team that is very much on par with them. Played good disciplined football, won the game. Discipline was my number one concern coming out of that Ole Miss game. If this team cannot get more disciplined, if this team cannot find it in itself to cut out the stupid mistakes, and more importantly, cut out the completely unnecessary mistakes. You know, if you get up and you simulate emptying a chamber out of a machine gun into a downed opponent, you're catching 15. You know that. That's not a, so you shouldn't have been surprised by that. It seems they have cut those things out. By and large, it seems they have cut those things out. And the question mark for me is, And Lulu said during the break there, the bye week concern, the bye week objective for this team off the bye is to improve that. It is to be better, not just at the mental mistakes during play, snap to snap, whistle to whistle, but between them as well. And I absolutely think that that is the proper thing to focus on if you are Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. I like hearing that. Texter said, I got to get the beep button ready. If Sellers doesn't fumble against LSU and Alabama, we win both of those games. I don't disagree. And that's why I said to Lulu Kesson in the last segment, I think that, at least for me, and this may not be true for all of you, it is a subjective opinion, but I think for me, it's his first year as QB1 reason, and I'll even let you call it a reason, not an excuse. It's off the table. We're halfway into the season now, okay? The mental mistakes got to go away. The interception that he threw on what turned out to be the last offensive play of the game for South Carolina on the road at Alabama, that can't happen. That mistake, that throw can't happen. You got to put that thing 9 rows out of bounds over a receiver's head, so you got another shot, even if it is a desperation, another shot. That's a freshman mistake. I was willing to let that one pass because I'm going, not only is he in his first year as QB1, let's forget the fact that he was on the team and played last year. It's his first full season as QB1. The entire program is pointed in his direction. Sure, I'm good with all of that. We're halfway into the season now. That game was on the road against Alabama, against a good team, a desperate team, a hungry team, in front of their fan base that was raucous and rabid that day because of the yell to Vanderbilt. That can't happen. And this is why I've said, to me, that's on Shane Beamer. That's on Dow Loggins. That's on the coaching staff for not having developed that kid to where we need him to be. Does he look better against A&M? A team that is going to throw a lot more aggressive defense at you than Oklahoma did, even with Brent Venables there. A&M's got more athletes on the defensive side of the football. Will Lenora Sellers clutch up? Or will he find that ice water in the veins and play his best ball? We're going to find out. Speaking of playing ball, Carolina Panthers will on the road in Denver against the Broncos. Bo Nix, Sean Payton and the gang. Welcome to Silver and Blue Mile High. We'll talk to Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast about what we expect out of BY as he gets the unanticipated start Sunday when we return on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, the final 20 minutes of hour number three, an hour left to go after that. We'll talk to Hayton Ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network about the NFL news from the last couple of days. It has been a very, very busy at 9:20. Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. We'll talk boxing, MMA, and professional wrestling before we get to any of that, as we do every Thursday at 8:40 a.m. We take a short ride up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, and talk to the host of the Panther Nation podcast, without a doubt, destination numero uno for all things silver and blue ball, the legendary Rashad Beard in the house like he is every Thursday. What up, big fella?
What's going on, guys? All is well here.
I'm glad to hear it. Let's jump right in and start with last week. It wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all.
No, not fun at all. It's about what I expected. It's what I called on this show. I called a nice little shellacking from the Washington Commanders, and that's exactly what happened. Don't got the guys on defense. Offensively, not good, especially when you're going up against a good Washington Commanders defense. Things look different when you go up against talent, and that's what we did. We went up against some talent on Sunday, and it wasn't very good. Not a good showing from Andy Dalton. Not a good showing from the offense. Not a good showing from the defense. Across the board, outplayed, outcoached. We looked like we did not belong, and so it wasn't fun. I cut it off about the third quarter, and then jumped back on as soon as I saw Bryce entered the game. So, it's not fun watching Panthers football right now.
We're going to come to BY here in a minute, because obviously there was some news yesterday that Dave Canales brought to us. But let's start with you, Rashad. I'm curious about you. I know the mindset is we want to be competitive, we want to be improving, we want the upward trajectory, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, to all of those things. How do Sundays work for you when you've got the litany of injuries you guys have right now? When you know you've got a career backup as QB1. Listen, I respect Dalton coming out and getting the win against the Raiders, but there's a reason he's a backup for the Carolina Panthers right now. When you got all these things going on, how do you maintain sanity when you tune in for a Panther game on Sunday, knowing that the goal is be better for 2025?
Yeah, that's such a great – I'm glad you asked me that, because that's a great question, because it's not fun. And it's one thing I like to just not take for granted the game of football, right? Like, I don't like when football is not being played, right? So over the summer, you don't have any football. So the fact that I have some sort of Panthers football, my team to watch, I do enjoy it. Unfortunately, the product on the field is not good, but I do like the fact that I have Panthers football to watch. So that's kind of where I am from a mental standpoint. But it's not fun seeing your team getting dog walked week in and week out. It's not fun. It's just not fun. And you know, I'm hopeful that eventually we'll get things on the winning track sometime soon. But it's not fun to answer your question. Not fun at all.
It's you know, to me, sometimes you got to move the, pardon the expression, you got to move the goalposts a little bit, right? Like you, sometimes you got to realize football's cyclical. There are just going to be seasons of your life where the Super Bowl ain't a reality, all right? And clearly this is it. And so in order to keep myself entertained, I got to have a new set of objectives, right? I know the Saints ain't going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to fist fight Dennis Allen on sight if I ever see his punk ass walking around. So for me, I came into the year with the objectives of maybe win the South, right? Be competitive. Take down Atlanta twice. Like, set the – what are you doing to make that happen? Is it just like – do you have particular objectives? Are there things I want to see BY do this? I want to see Dave Canales do this? Or is it just a matter of I want to end every game on Sunday and be able to write down three things that we did okay?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. I don't have any expectations for this team, to be honest. I don't want to set myself up for any kind of failure because anytime I've done that, they have failed me miserably. So I don't have really any real measurable goals that I would like to see from this team. I do like this, want to see the young guys, get better. I want to see Jonathan Brooks, right? I want to see what he looks like when he's healthy. I want to see Xavier Legette go out there and do work and put good work in. Jalen Coker, these young guys that are going to be around the team for a long time. I want to see those guys develop. Trevin Wallace, the draft class. You know, we broke it down on our last show is that this draft class has a little bit to it. If you look past everything else in the wins and losses, this draft class is not bad, and it's something that we could potentially build on. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I would like to see Bryce in the year as the starter. I want to see whether he's going to be. Again, I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying people keep jumping on me every time I say I want to see Bryce Young. And I'm not saying that because I think he's the guy. I'm saying that because I want to see the guy. We brought in a QB whisperer. A guy that fixes quarterbacks. I want to see him, see if he can actually get something from Bryce Young. This is the reason why you were hired. I want to see if Bryce Young, we traded all these resources to get him. I want to see if we can get something out of it, right? I'm not saying he's going to be the guy, but let's at least try to see if he can develop and show us something by the end of the year so by then we can know whether to move on or not. So, but outside of that, that's really it. I don't have any expectations.
Speaking of Bryce Young, going to get the start. Andy Dalton in a car accident earlier this week, according to Dave Canales yesterday, sprained his thumb, meaning he will sit this week and BY gets back out there. I'm glad you said that, Rashad. And here's the thought that I had when you were answering that question. You brought in Canales to be the quarterback whisperer to develop Bryce Young. And there are a lot of folks out there, I'm sure there are some in the chat right now, that fully believe that Dave Canales at the end of this year is going to go to David Tepper and go, that's not my guy. This isn't the guy I want to work with. I want my guy, whether we got to draft him, trade for him, whatever, and that's all well and good. But I still think in order to show me that you were the right hire, you got to show me, even if he's not going to be your guy next year, you got to show me development of BY. Now that dude's been on the bench for 5 weeks, hadn't had that pressure on him, hadn't had people dropping Macho Man verbal elbows on him on social media all week or all month and a half long now. What's the expectation for BY this weekend?
I mean, it's tough, man. I feel bad for him. You know, the shuffle, the in and out, the whether you're guy or not the guy. Listen, no, don't turn the ball over. Be confident. Trust what's in front of you. Go out there and execute. You know, we keep talking about we have good practices, and then, you know, you come out and we lay an egg. Just be you, Bryce. We've seen, like, glimpses of it. It hasn't been, you know, shown in the entire game. Just go out there and do you, man. The pressure's basically off, right? I mean, it's still there, but kind of not. Like, you can go out there and be you, man. The expectation is that we're going to move on anyway. So just go out there and ball out, bro. Like, you've seen you do it in college. Just go out there, and you have nothing else to lose at this point. Just go out there and make it happen, and that's really all I want to see from him.
Tell you what I saw on social media, and I don't know if you'll have any comment on it or not. You're welcome to. I was scrolling social media the last couple of days, really the last 24 hours since the Dalton accident, and there were a ton of Panther fans who were posting old clips of Bryce Young. I'm talking about BY from his Bama days. I'm talking about BY from, last year early in his Panthers tenure when my man was coming up into the locker room and he's hype and he's got energy and he's loud and he's yelling and he's talking or whatever. And a lot of Panthers fans were like, this is the cat I want to see again. This is a guy that can succeed. This is the guy I want to see start to break out a little bit. It almost felt like over the last 5 weeks, especially with how poorly last week went for the Panthers, Rashad Beard, that people are kind of warming back up to the idea of maybe Bryce Young is that guy. Maybe he can be him. Man, I can't help but personally, not as a guy who thinks he is or isn't the guy, but just personally, I really kind of want to see him ball out and just give us a glimpse of there he is. That's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, man. We've seen, like I said, we've seen it, man. We've seen it from Bryce Young. We know what he's capable of. And I feel bad for him under the circumstances. You come in here, you got the first year coaches fired and all this other turmoil surrounding your play. And I just would like to see him go out there and play well, man. Like I said, the pressure's completely off. Go out there, do you. And, man, if you can get a dub, cool. But if not, man, at least get a W for yourself and your confidence. And that's what I'm looking for for Bryce, man.
All right, so you're on the road. You're at Denver. This Denver team's real interesting because, and I think you and I have talked about this, Bo Nix looks a little better, and I gave him credit for being at the pro level. I really thought this dude was going to be an absolute flame out. Playing well enough under Sean Payton. Denver's found some dudes in the defensive backfield that made throwing the ball against them a little bit dangerous. New Orleans found that out. We got embarrassed last Thursday night by this team. This is a better Denver Broncos team than we thought it were going to be. They're not going to be competing for the division or anything, but they can be dangerous if you make a couple of mistakes. To me, this feels like a game that I just want to see clean football from Carolina. I'm not even really worried about the score. Go execute. Have your blocking scheme down. Run crisp routes. Give BY the best chance you can give them to succeed. And that's really the only thing I'm looking for on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, Denver's a tough, tough, tough team, man. They're well coached. I mean, everybody has their opinions on Sean Payton, but he got has those guys willing to play. And I brought that up last week. When you talk about Denver and you look at how they're built, you know, they had a new owner too that nobody's talking about, right? New ownership, new coach brought in, very similar to the Carolina Panthers. And you see the trajectories of both teams, right? This Denver team is competitive. Nobody's saying they're going to go out there and win the Super Bowl, but at least they're competitive week in and week out. And Denver is what I aspire for my team to be, right? I want to see I want my team to look like Denver, right? Nobody's saying Bo Nix is the man. He's the future MVP, but at least they got something to work with. And so, again, I just want us to go out there, execute, play good competitive football. Let's not get blown out, and let's make it a game, man. Again, that's where I've been all season, ever since Bryce got benched initially. Let's just go out there, be competitive. We got a little glimpse of it against the Raiders, won that game. And since this is flamed out, let's get back on track and let's get at least competitive again.
Yeah. I think to me this weekend, you're worried about the scoreboard. It's an NFL game. These boys got pride. All right. They got pride. They don't want to go out there and get dog walked for sure. But if I am, and Lonzo, when I had this conversation earlier, like fans look at the scores and the numbers and they just want to see it there. To me, I am at a point now where I'm looking at, I want to be able to come in here on Monday and write down 10 things that I saw and say, these 10 things definitely got better week to week. Because to me, I don't care about wins and losses the rest of this year. I care about, are we ready for 2025? And it sucks as a fan, because that's an entire year of my life that I'm not getting what I want. But I got to make this sure this team, if I'm in charge of it, is ready for next year, because this year don't matter no more.
All right, what does Bryce Young have to do to keep the job if Andy Sums gets better? Because it's a sprained thumb. It's going to get better in another week or so. What's he got to do to play the rest of the year?
Not turn the football over, number one. Protect the football, right? Not make the dumb interceptions, not the pick sixes. I mean, Andy is guilty of that too. But I think not turn the football over. Get it to your playmakers, right? And I think, and again, I think it plays hand in hand. We're talking about what Bryce needs to do. I'll push back on that and say, what does Canales need to do to make sure Bryce is successful, right? Run the football. You got Chuba Hubbard. You're going to get Jonathan Brooks back. Let's get these guys going. Like, even with Andy Dalton, the quarterback, we're still only running the football with Chuba Hubbard 18, 15 times per game. That's not enough. Run the football and protect Bryce Young from himself, essentially. And I think Bryce will be okay. I think, again, it works hand-in-hand. Canales has to also work with Bryce and protect him as well.
Rashad Beard, host of Panther Nation Podcast. You can follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, head on over to the YouTube channel, Panther Nation Podcast. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, turn the bell on, because the boys are live all the time, even when you check in on Sunday for the reaction. And you need me to send you some more glasses with a little darker lenses, Rashad, so people can't see the sadness in the eyes?
Yeah. It gets a little ugly on Sunday sometimes, so I apologize in advance. But the good news, though, good news, and you talked about 2025, we will have Mock Draft Mondays coming back. So that's going to be a good look. It's going to be fun. We're turning the page, too, just like the Carolina Panthers should be.
Hey, I'll see you next up at the bank next weekend, right? Right? We still going to get together?
Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
I like it. Maybe a little five
minute. I might need more than one shot just going around.
Bro, I don't know if you watch my team. We got run out of our own house by the same team you play this weekend, my man. We might skip the game and just be watching it at a bar because that's the only way we're getting through it at this point.
That's a very good point.
Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast joins us every single Thursday at 8:40 to talk Panther football. We got Hayden Ask Mario for the BetQL Network. Next, Lonzo's Fight Club. After that, after Lonzo's Sports Flash.
The NBA regular season saw a full slate of contests last night, including a 110-105 win over the Houston Rockets by the Charlotte Hornets. LaMelo Ball led all scorers in the game, recording 34 with 11 assists and 8 boards. Trey Mann added 24, 11, and 8. Off the bench, the Hornets start the season 1-0. One of the 11 remaining unbeaten teams in college football fell last night as winless Kennesaw State knocked off the Liberty Flames 27-24. The win is the first ever victory. Not even their own team shouts go Owls. The win is the first ever victory over an FBS team for the Owls and ends Liberty's 17-game win streak. It's the first time in 23 years a team 0-5 or worse has defeated a team 5-0 or better. Tune in tomorrow night 7 as Burns takes on Spartanburg right here on The Fan Upstate.